The reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were, staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
That was very impressive, wasn't it? What a reading.
Thank you, Miranda. That was great. Had all those difficult places that you had to say, and thank you. You did really well. And thank you to the band for leading us in worship. It's so great that people give of their time and their skills and their gifts to serve the church in all these different ways. A lot of the ways we don't see, you know, people who clean the church on a Wednesday and, you know, help out in lots of different ways that aren't really visible from the front, and then there's some who stand up and do things at the front. It's so great that we're church together, all doing these things, people of different ages, all using our skills and gifts in different ways. It's fantastic. Well, happy Pentecost. Happy birthday to the church. Here we are, thinking about the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes in power. We've already played Pass the Parcel, because that's what you do on a birthday, don't you? You play Pass the Parcel. We've opened the presents. We've had the Dove soap. We've had the celebrations. I think the kids have already eaten them all. Are there any left?
No.
You didn't save one for me? No. They've already eaten them all. They've received the gift. Well, I want to start by talking about gifts, actually. I've brought some gifts that I've received over the years. So one Christmas, I received this. And I thought, what is it? I thought, it's such a strange, bizarre thing. Was it last Christmas? It's such a bizarre thing. I thought, maybe it's some sort of power tool. You know, maybe people are thinking, oh, Phil's probably really good at DIY. I bet he'd be able to kind of put some shelves together. Terrible. Terrible. But maybe they thought I'd be good. Maybe that's why he bought it. Maybe it's not that. And I thought, well, maybe they think I'm a sci-fi fan and this is a sonic screwdriver. Put your hand up if you know what a sonic screwdriver is. Keep your hand up if you're a fan of Doctor Who. I'm not really into it. But my daughter's really into Doctor Who, so she's told me about sonic screwdrivers. So maybe it's that. And then I came to realise actually what it is... Can you hear that? It's a nasal hair trimmer. That's right. I mean, what kind of message are you giving somebody when you buy them a nasal hair trimmer for Christmas? The message you're giving them is, your nose is too hairy. And you need a nasal hair trimmer. You've reached that age, Phil, where, you know, you might enjoy being called the young vicar, but you're old enough for a nasal hair trimmer. So that was one gift I got. And then another gift I got was socks. I mean, that's not surprising as well, is it? Gentlemen of a certain age. You get socks for Christmas or for your birthday, you know, as a gift. But these aren't just any socks. These socks have a cape. You know. Does anybody else have socks with capes? Nobody else has. These are Super Dad socks. Oh, somebody else does. Yay! These are Super Dad socks. And they have a cape. So you can wear them. You know, if you're wearing attractive shorts, you can pull these right up. And then when you run, they flap in the wind. And rather than people going, what's that idiot doing? People go, wow, a Super Dad! As I run across the beach in my amazing socks. So those are gifts that were given to me. The amazing thing about a gift is that, well, gifts always have a giver, don't they? And so when we're thinking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, we're thinking about, well, who is the giver? Because the giver is God. God is the giver of this gift. And every gift is given to somebody. It's given to us, the church. So I want to read a couple of verses. First of all, from right at the beginning of the book of Acts, chapter 4. And this is when Jesus has been risen from the dead following Easter, and he's meeting with his disciples. And it says this: on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. The gift my Father promised, so it's a gift from the Father that you've heard me speaking about. So Jesus is saying, I've told you about this before. I've been getting you ready to receive this gift. So what you need to do is you need to go and you need to wait, because I'm going to give you a gift. So it's a gift. And then later, after this amazing happening in Pentecost that Miranda just read for us, in verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, it says this. So this is Peter speaking to people. Once all these strange things have happened and all these strange languages have been spoken, Peter is speaking to the crowd, because they're saying, what should we do? How do we respond to this? You've told us about Jesus, told us that he's risen from the dead, that everything's going to be different. What do we do? How do we respond? And this is what Peter says. He says, repent, turn your life around, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hi, Ted. Wow. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, again, it's a gift. It's something that's going to be given, and it happens within kind of the whole package of receiving Jesus Christ, of receiving forgiveness from your sins. And it says, all of you. So this is not just for special Christians, you know, who are a bit loopy, who like kind of loud music. This is for all of you who belong to Jesus. This gift is for you. So that's the first thing. It's a gift. And there's an interesting thing about the word gift. Another word that you can use instead of gift is grace. Grace is something that you receive that you haven't earned. You haven't worked your way to do it. You know, you haven't, you know, passed a certain test or worked hard enough or prayed hard enough. You receive it without having to earn it. It's grace. It's a gift. And that's what the Holy Spirit is to us. It's a gift that we haven't earned that is given. And it carries with it this gift. It carries the essence of Christ. Does anybody use herbal essences shampoo? I should be able to tell because your hair will be nice and shiny. Herbal essences shampoo, what they're trying to tell you in the adverts is that their shampoo contains the essence of these herbs. So the kind of good qualities of these herbs will make your hair be nice and shiny and glowy. The essence of these herbs, kind of the qualities that are good about them, are contained in the shampoo. And in the Holy Spirit, the qualities of God are in the Holy Spirit as a gift to us. So we receive Jesus' love and power and grace and mercy in that gift, contained in the essence of Jesus in the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's the first thing, gift. Secondly, I want to talk about power. I didn't get a power tool, I got a nasal hair trimmer. But sometimes we think about power in that kind of sense of like, you plug it in and it's got loads of power. The Holy Spirit is a bit different to that. You may have seen this illustration. My friend John Santomy likes to use this illustration a lot. So it's like a glove. And he says that, you know, before we have the Holy Spirit in us, we're like a glove. So you can see this is a glove and it's kind of sewn together and you can see what it is and it's got, you know, the right bits and it's all good. But actually, it's not until a hand goes inside it that it actually becomes kind of alive and has a purpose. And John Santomy says it's like that with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit fills you, then suddenly you can move and you can do what you're made to do. So that's one illustration of what it's like to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. But the thing I like about the term power of the Holy Spirit, it's used again and again in the Bible. So again, Acts 1, verse 8, we read this. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, says Jesus. So it says, this gift that's coming, you will receive power. There's something about it that is powerful. It's not just going to be a nice feeling. It's not just going to be the forgiveness of your sins. It's something that's going to have power. What does power do? It's a force, isn't it? It moves. There's power. And then right at the beginning of Luke, interestingly, Luke wrote this as well, and right at the beginning of Luke, it says this. Luke chapter 4. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. So this is Jesus, after he's had his time in the wilderness, he's about to begin this amazing ministry where people are going to come and follow him, people are going to reject him, some people are going to arrest him, he's going to do all these amazing things. He does that in the power of the Holy Spirit. So even Jesus needed this power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And then right at the end of the book of Luke, at verse 49 of the final chapter, chapter 24, Jesus says this, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So something from God is going to be given to these group of people, and they are going to have power. They're going to have something that sends them forward. It's going to be an impetus. It's going to have a certain energy about it. It's going to give them a purpose and a reason. Three things to conclude. What happened on the day of Pentecost? We need to understand that. We need to think about, why do we need the Holy Spirit? And finally, how do we receive the Holy Spirit? So first of all, what happened on the day of Pentecost? When we were opening that present and looking at all those different wrappers, the first thing was that there was a sound like a violent wind. And the second thing was that there were what looked like flames resting on their head. These are bizarre things. That's the first thing to know about what happened on the day of Pentecost. What happened? Strange things happened. It was weird. Now, we could try and say, oh yeah, that was great, that was kind of normal, and that happens all the time. No, that doesn't happen all the time, does it? You're not in a room, and suddenly it sounds like there's wind, but it's not quite wind. You can tell that the person who's writing this can't quite describe it. It's indescribable, and it's sort of like flames, but they weren't actually on fire. They didn't go and get, you know, a fire extinguisher, because it looked like flames, but they weren't flames. And then suddenly they're speaking in different tongues, and they spill out onto the street, and people are hearing them. What is going on? Strange things are going on. That's what's going on. Why? Well, because heaven and earth are connecting. There's this kind of interaction between heaven and earth. And when that happens, strange things are going to happen. Maybe some of you were involved in the charismatic renewal, what's called the charismatic renewal, or the Toronto blessing. You've been involved in those kind of things. Strange things happened. Maybe you've been in meetings, church meetings and other meetings, where people have been shaking, or they've fallen over, or they've screamed, or they've cried. Strange things have happened. Why? Because heaven and earth is coming together. When that happens, strange things are going to happen. Because this is heaven we're talking about. And this is earth, and these things are coming together. And we see that again and again in the scripture, don't we? That heaven and earth are coming together. That's what Jesus is about. And this pouring out of the Spirit into flesh is heaven and earth coming together. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Strange things happened at Pentecost. But it's not about the strange things. It's about what happens because heaven and earth come together. It happens because they're gathered and because they prayed. That's the two things they did. They gathered and they prayed. We've been doing that over this past 10 days. With Thy Kingdom Come, we've been gathering and we've been praying. We do that again and again as a church, don't we? We gather together. This Christian thing that we do isn't something we do on our own. We do it in community. So, second question, why do we need the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Well, I think we need the Holy Spirit because what we see at Pentecost is this group of people go from being a group of people to being the church. They go from being a group of people to being the body of Christ. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit, because we're not just a group of people who like to come together on a Sunday. We are the body of Christ. And in order to be the body, in order to kind of be one, even though we're all different, and somehow to be connected, in order for that to happen, we need the Holy Spirit. When we gather and when we are sent, we need the Holy Spirit so that we can be the body of Christ. There's a focus on the collective on the gathering, on being the body, in order that we can go and be the body in the world. And I think it's important that we speak the language. It's interesting that Pentecost, what happens is they get this strange thing where they're speaking all these different languages, and as they go out into the street, all these people are saying, they're speaking my language. And I think as we're filled with the Holy Spirit as the church, as we go out into the world, we need to be speaking the language of the world. What does that mean? Well, I think we live in a secular age, so we need to be able to speak a language that a secular age can understand. We need to speak in a language that secular people can understand. We need to speak in a language that Muslims can understand, because there's lots of Muslims in the world, and we need to speak about Jesus to them. We need to speak a language that a world that is hurting and full of fear and full of violence can understand, words of hope and love. Understand what the gospel is. The gospel becomes more and more relevant the more people are hurt and damaged and bombed, and the more violence there is, the more relevant the gospel becomes. Because it's a different message. It speaks a message of love and hope and forgiveness in a world full of fear, where fear leads to retribution, retribution, revenge, more violence, more violence, more pain, more fear. We get to speak a message of hope and love. Who's here? Well, there's lots of people here, aren't there? Oh, it's left now. We need to speak a message of hope and love. And to do that, we need to be the body of Christ, because we don't just want to go giving an empty message. We need to go bringing Jesus to people, because that's all we have. We can't say, oh, you know, come and be involved in this amazing thing that we've got that's kind of separate. No, all we have is Jesus. This message of hope and love, that God would love the world so much that he gave his son to try and absorb the violence of the world, to set us free. This is our message. And we need the Holy Spirit in order to do the things of God. So, healing. A few months ago, there was an event across the road at the Methodist Church, and it was a great example of churches coming together, because the Vineyard Church in Harrogate wanted to put on this event, and so they wanted to use Life Destiny Church, which is the building behind the Methodist Church across the road. But so many people wanted to come that they ran out of room. So the Methodist Church said, oh, well, why don't you meet in the Methodist Church? We've got more room. So we met in the Methodist Church. And this American evangelist came. And I know what you're thinking. An American healing evangelist is going to get people up on the stage. He's going to zap them and they'll fall over. But this Robbie Dawkins isn't like that. Robbie Dawkins is a big American guy. And he doesn't do it on stage. He doesn't get people to be healed on stage. He says, no, we all need to do this. So after he's done a bit of talk, encouraging us about what the Holy Spirit does and how we can pray for people for healing, he says, okay, put your hand up if you need healing, if you've got pain or anything. And so people put their hand up and he says, right, gather around those people and pray for them to be healed. And so we do. So me and my wife, Beck, we were sitting next to this lady who came all the way from Birmingham, and she stood up because she had this pain in her back. So she explained it to us. She said, I've got a pain here in my back. It's connected to my hips. She's quite a tall lady and she had problems with kind of alignment and things. And she said, you know, so if that could be here, that would be amazing. So Beck and I prayed for her, and we prayed and we said, does that feel any better after we prayed? And she said, it does a little bit. I can feel something. It's, you know, it feels a little bit different. So we said, oh, we'll pray again. So we put our hands on her, I put my hand on her shoulder, Beck put her hand on her back, and we prayed. And while we were praying, this black guy came round the back of us, and he put his hand on her back as well, and then he disappeared again. That was a bit weird. But weird things happen. And anyway, and afterwards she said, yeah, I'm healed. And she was really shocked. Not shocked like, yay, praise God. Shocked like, yeah, it's better. What's going on? She was sort of bewildered and confused. And she just kind of sat down and thought, I've just been healed. And we were like, she's just been healed. And it wasn't us doing it. That's the thing. We can't walk away from that and say, oh, Beck and I are great. We have this amazing healing power. Jesus did it. The Holy Spirit did it. We need the Holy Spirit in order to do the things. We can't do that on our own. I can't heal people, but God can heal people. And God, for some reason, chooses to use us to do it. I don't know why, to encourage us, to build us up as the church. So we need the Holy Spirit to be the body of Christ and to do the things of God. And finally, how do we receive the Holy Spirit? And this is a really short point, because to receive the Holy Spirit, all we need to do is ask. That's all we need to do. We just need to ask. There's something about God's character that he won't force himself upon us. We just need to ask. And in the Church of England, we like our really long prayers sometimes. You know, we have these big liturgies and collects. But actually, when it comes to Pentecost, there's a really short prayer that we say, and it's just three words: Come, Holy Spirit. That's it. That's the liturgy for Pentecost. Come, Holy Spirit. We just need to ask. So we're just going to ask. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, and we're going to receive from the Holy Spirit. Why don't we close our eyes? You might want to hold your hands open. It's just like a little sign of being ready to receive this gift, this power. Let's pray. Jesus said, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Come, Holy Spirit. We, as your church, as your people, need this gift. We need this power in order to be your body, in order to speak and show hope and love to a hurting world. In order to conquer fear with faith, conquer hate with love, we need your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.